Amen. Morning, church. I hope you're having a good day today. I know anytime we can be in God's presence, thank you for the song. Can we give the praise team another hand clap this morning, the worship team? Because anytime I sit close in the front and I watch them, do you know how incredibly difficult it is, even when you're gifted, to focus on the one instrument you're playing and making sure it all goes together in your play, but not when you're synced up by the Holy Spirit, amen? And they do that for us every week and bless us, and it is a joy to get to do that. I think my hair was standing straight up, especially on the last song. Only me and God knew that, but it happened. Dave Stinger would get that one too, but you know, it's good to be here. Smile at your neighbor for a minute. I know we shook hands, but I want you to do this for a reason. And yes, that's going to be one of these days, that's going to be the last thing I say probably. Smile at your neighbor because it's important. It's important. I want you to soak the moment in where you're at right now, where we are in God's house. It's Sunday. Do you realize that we have to start it all over again tomorrow? It's Monday. Anybody got to go into work tomorrow morning? None of us do, right? Nobody. No, Rochelle, the only one. And you start all over again, and then you get to that, and you think, man, it's Monday already. Do you realize they say the older you get, the faster time goes? I must be a couple of hundred years old, because before I know it, it's Friday already. We had Reagan in for the weekend, which is not long enough, parents, when your kid's away at college, and they only come in for a cough and a sneeze. And we had to take her right back last night and come back home. And I thought, didn't I just pick her up? And Cheryl said, didn't we just bring her home from the hospital in her car seat? I said, well, you had to go there, didn't you? You know? But there's a moment when you just have to think about what really matters. Amen? A friend of mine, we used to go to, when I was in Kentucky, when I pastored down there, and the treasurer and I, we had been raising money for a van. We needed a van very, very bad, and for a lot of events and stuff to get kids around. And we had been raising money, and a family came in out of left field. They didn't even go to the church, but their son had been coming because he was going to college there in town. And she said, we want to sow into this. We want to see it happen. And that always gets a pastor excited when somebody looks them in the eye and says, we want to sow into this. You know, you think, yes. They gave us money that put us over the top what we were raising. So he and I drove an hour north of where we lived, and we started looking in the big town of Ashland, Kentucky. It is on the map. If you know where it's at, some of you are shaking your head yes, and I am flabbergasted that you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we went around all day long, and this guy talks more than I do. So that gives you an idea what I was dealing with all day. I wanted to buy a van as quick as I could just so we could go home in separate vehicles, okay? But I loved him. I loved him to death. So we looked all day. We were looking for 5 or 6 hours, could not find anything whatsoever. And finally, we sat down. What do you do when you're done searching and you're depressed? You eat. Somebody amen that. So we did. We're eating, and he said, he goes, you know what? There's a place downtown here. Somebody was just telling me it's a senior center, and they were getting rid of their van because they don't need it anymore. Let's go see. And I said, it's worth a shot. We walked in there, and they had it, and the guy said, yeah. And now I'll tell you, the good shape that it's in. Of course, they started telling us everything that was good about it, nothing that was wrong. Well, there's got to be something wrong with it. They're getting rid of it, right? He goes, no, they're only getting rid of it because they don't need it anymore, because they don't take road trips anymore. And I said, yeah, and a little old lady from Pasadena was the driver too, right? And John was his name. He walked up, he leaned on the counter, and he looked them right in the eye because he was cheaper than a $3 tie. And he said, what's the rock bottom price for this van? I said, that's it, we're out of here. He is not going to tell him what the rock bottom price was. And it made me think, here's what we're talking about today, the bottom line. I think of Johnny every time I hear somebody say something. What's the bottom line? Let me get right to the cut to the chase. Get right to the nuts and bolts of it right here. What are we talking about? And he leaned up and got up right in there, Dave, and he said, what's the rock bottom price for that? What's the lowest that you're willing to go? And I said, that's probably only the 11th person this hour that's come in and said that here, right? And they told him. And guess what? You're not going to believe this. It was exactly what we had in our pocket. And we drove away with the van. And I was too busy to worry about being alone that I was so excited that God had done something great. But it reminded me, he subscribed to the cut to the chase method. And when we get to life, and when we get to what you're talking about, especially right now with Ethan and his family, as Tiffany has made her trip and made her reward now, and we're just following behind, amen, trying to get to heaven with her. It comes down to where our culture's at here today. They've operated that way a long time. Anybody have TikTok? Who has TikTok? Don't raise your hand. You're worried, aren't you? Why, are they coming after me? No, we have TikTok, right? Remember, and Reels, you get on, if you're not on Facebook, but anytime you get online, anywhere, any of the social media things, they're quick clips, 30 seconds, sometimes a minute. Some of them are a little bit longer, but it's just cutting to the chase of what's happening. Here's the bottom line of somebody's speech. Here's your kid running across the mop floor and falling down. And they think that's funny for some reason. I don't know why. Here's a rock falling out of the sky. Whatever happens. But we deal it with real. Anybody remember what a vine was? That was somebody that had TikTok ideas and ran out of money. Okay, so they figured that out later. Our attention spans right now are much shorter. Amen? Our calendars are full. Our responsibilities are so stacked, and all that goes on. We just want to get to the clip. Get me right down to where I need to know. Tell me exactly what you're trying to say in 10 words or less. It's probably what you're thinking this morning. Well, that's not going to happen. But I want to talk to you this morning as quickly as we can with the time that we've got, what the Word tells us about that, because it is very important that you and I as a church, that we get to the bottom line as quickly as we can, because time is running out. Amen? Jesus is coming back. Brian, he's been coming back since he left. I know. So let's get busy. Nobody amen that. Amen? Communication has a timer on it. And we really just want to know the important stuff without all the fluff, right? You go to the doctor. What's the doctor say? Take your meds, Fred. Take your medicine, right? Why? So you don't get sick, right? Eat healthy. Why? Eat healthy so you don't be unhealthy, right? Pull the ripcord before you hit the ground. Okay. These are important words, and we have to heed them, or we're going to have issues that come later on. My cousin used to describe movies, and he would always start with, there was this lion roaring in this little circle. It took him longer than the movie to describe the movie. That's why. The MGM lion was roaring at the beginning of the movie. That's what he would describe. I would add that having the rock-bottom truth does get us to a certain place, but you can't get away from the why. You see, leading up to that quick 30-second reel you watch or that TikTok video or even on YouTube or whatever you see, a lot has happened to get to the bottom line. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of positioning. There's a lot of filming. And to get to the rock bottom for us to say, hey, you need Jesus Christ in your heart to become a Christian so you can get to heaven, it took the cross. We're just coming out of Easter. I will never get over Jesus dying for me. I will never get over the fact that he wants to come into my heart any way that he possibly can and sanctify and satisfy my longing and be in my heart and save me of all people. Amen? The bottom line contains life-changing information that we just can't ignore. Here's a man in Ecclesiastes 12. Look here with me, 12 and verse 9. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. There's great thought that it's Solomon that wrote Ecclesiastes, but it's not universally agreed upon. And so we're just going to call him the preacher for the lack of term today, because that's what verse 9 says. The preacher in Ecclesiastes did a lot. In that one verse, there is a lot of study, pondering, time with God, time in life, mistakes made, victories won. A lot happens in verse 9 to get to where we're heading to the end of this chapter. But this is the end of a lot of searching and a lot of wondering and a lot of trying. And he says, he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. Now he's calling us sheep again, which could insult some of us, but for a lot of us, we prove it right, because sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need someone to keep them in line. Sheep need someone that will tell them the truth, even if it hurts, and even use instruments, you know, the sheep stick with the nails driven. He says it's like fine-driven nails through the board that has strength, but also power, but also just to nudge you the right way to keep you going in the right direction. Amen? I don't just need a stick. I probably need a lumber field upside my head sometimes to keep me in line. And I appreciate God doing it. If he didn't love me, the Bible says that he corrects and chastens those whom he loves. Does anybody feel a whole lot of love from Jesus an awful lot of time? I do. He says they're like those well-driven nails. But what I love is that it's given by one shepherd. You could tell me it and it would make sense. There are great people in this room that I love and respect very much that I take what they say and it, I harness it in my heart and I grow from it. But when the Lord tells me, it has a whole different amount of power. And I begin to listen and I begin to put it into action because I know that I need to grow. And so he says these wise words that come from wise men, the words of wise men are like goads or masters of these collections, well-driven nails given by the one shepherd. Because he has lived there. He experimented, or he walked down those roads, or he lived it. He did the wrong things to tell you how it would feel. He took his medicine. He didn't take his medicine. He ate healthy. He didn't eat healthy. Amen? He did all the things in life trying to find joy, trying to find peace. And he lived it, and he made mistakes, but he got to where we're at the end of this chapter. But beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless. An excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. Any high school students in here would say, amen. But so would any of us in learning. The more we study, we were laughing about it this week, and you think about how all the learning that you do and all the studying that we do, sometimes you wonder, hey, am I losing my mind? It's wearing me out. It's wearisome. Learning is exhausting. But if I'm learning from the one shepherd and he's trying to teach me to get me somewhere, it is worth it. Amen. It's wearing to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, he gets near the end of his entire writing. When all has been heard is this: fear God and keep his what? Because this applies to every person. It's the whole duty of man. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. Well, if that's the reason, if I know I'm going to stand before God someday and he's going to tell me the things that I did wrong, thank God it's under the blood. Amen. But I think I can get excited even to know of the things that he has brought us through and the things that he has helped us with and the places he has taken us because we have trusted him, but we admit to him that we need him. When we get to this point now, because of all of the work, because of all of the partying, on all of the walk of the straight and narrow. Again, the preacher, the writer in this book had tried everything to feel fulfillment and to feel excitement and to feel knowledge and wisdom and to get there, and he boiled it down to that. So you're sitting in church this morning at 10:11 on May the 4th, be with you, by the way, I had to say that, and you're thinking, great, I'm in church, woo, that means I'm doing it right. Because I'm showing I fear God, and I'm going to keep his commandments. I got it made. We never got it made until we get to heaven. Amen? But I can tell you this. It's the beginning of wisdom is to fear God, the Bible tells us. And it's the beginning of wisdom when we put that into action. And it's not just because we're trying to look good in front of other people. I've tried that. That's exhausting, by the way. Then you go home and you got to be who you really are, you know? And you think, man, you know, just being a nice guy, just be who Jesus wants you to be all the time. Amen? Don't put on any airs. Don't wear a mask. Don't try to be like this one or that one. Just try to be like Jesus. And you know what? If that's what all of us are trying to do is take our lives and our words and our actions and gear them toward being like him, I think we're going to be okay. Anybody with me? He boils it down to this. He says, fear God. I don't want to portray anything other than a relationship with God that is the very best thing you'll ever have in your life. Because when I say the word fear, you automatically think we have to walk hovered over with our hands up to our chest with, you know, scared to death that we're going to have something dropped on our head or we're going to get wiped out for a bad thought or God's going to bring a team of mules to run us over. That's not that kind of fear. It's reverent fear. I fear God because he's in heaven and I'm on the earth. Amen? I fear God because of what he can do. I fear God even out of worship because of what he has done for me and what he can do for you. And so he puts it in perspective in these two areas to say, let me just break it down. Here's leaning over the counter asking, what's the bottom line? If you were in prayer today and said, Lord, remember the rich young ruler? What do I have to do to get into heaven? And then still, when he told him exactly what he had to do, sell all you have, give it to the poor, follow me. What did he do? I'll be right back. Let me go sell it. He couldn't do it because he loved his stuff more than he loved Jesus. I don't want to be like that. And he looks here and he says, well, you got to fear God. You got to keep God in his place. You have to keep God where he belongs, number one, in revering. And then when you do that, I don't even think the second one is as difficult as the first one, because if I fear God and I serve him the way I truly will, you're not going to have to remind me, hey, Brian, hey, don't cheat. Hey, what are you doing over there? Don't lie. Hey, what are you doing? Don't steal. Hey, what are you doing over there? If my relationship with God is where it's supposed to be at, keeping his commandments are going to come out of my heart of love and obedience. How many times do you think you blinked since you sat down here today? A lot. I heard 1,000. Yeah, probably a lot. And if you're counting them, I am really boring. I'm sorry. How many times do you think you've breathed since you got up this morning, right? How many heartbeats have you had? Breathing, blinking, heart beating, all of that, Adele, put together, that means you are a living organism today, and you didn't have to tell yourself, hey, don't forget to take a breath here in about another 10 seconds. You're going to think that now because I said it. But you have to remember, all those things already happened because you're alive. You know what? It's my joy to be able to have God say, hey, today you did pretty good. Pat you on the head. Let's do better tomorrow. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hey, today, I know you're walking the best you know how, and you're trying to live within the blessings that I gave you, and you're trying to be obedient, you're trying to be grateful. I appreciate that. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You want an even better example? Let me show you some guys that were fishing one day, having a bad day fishing. I know a bad day fishing beats what? A good day working. There's a bunch of fishermen in the house. I get that. But these guys were having a day. Luke 5. It happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he, this is Jesus, was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them, and they were washing their nets. It's a sign that they're done. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. So Jesus had been teaching all day. The crowd would not leave him alone. They were following him around. And he wanted to just have some time where he could be alone and still teach them. But he was tired of standing. And he was tired of, the day was just getting long. And he walks up to the water and he sees them, we're done. When they're washing their nets and when the boats are on shore, you've pretty much had your day. And he looked at him, and he got in the boat. He just got in the boat, and he pushed away. He said, I'll teach him from here. I can have to talk a little bit louder, but at least I got some breathing room. And then we can fish later or do whatever, and I'm with these guys, and they seem like nice guys. He got into the boat, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put it out a little bit from the land, and he began to teach him from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for the catch. Now, what were they doing when he caught them? Washing the nets. They were done. You know? It's when Dwight's taking all the shavers and the combs and the shiny spray stuff, whatever else you do. I don't ever have to worry about having anybody cut my hair, so I'm not quite sure what a hair professional does. But when he's put it all up and the chair's down and the cloth is away, that's it. You don't dare walk in there at 5 minutes before he closes and say, sir, what? How much is a haircut? Well, how much time you got tomorrow? He's done. You're not going to sit in his chair and start telling him your life story. Now, you could with him because he's a nice guy. Amen? Nobody amen that either, Dwight. I should have warned him. I should have warned him. So when they sit down and he begins to talk to them, they're like, what is he doing? I already had myself at home in my easy chair, you know, getting ready to watch camels race on TV. I don't know what they did back in those days. But he was done with his day, and Jesus is sitting there, and he's talking to him, and he's done teaching, and then he has the gall to say, hey, that what you thought you were done, why don't you put out here and go? Get a little bit deeper, you know? Here's the problem. He already knew they were fishing in the water that was too shallow. Nothing was biting. Let me give you a tip. I'm not the greatest fisherman. If you're in a hole of water and nothing's biting, you probably need to remove yourself from that place and go someplace else. Anybody with me? And so Jesus got in the boat. Now, when Jesus is in your boat, you can mark this one down. There's good times coming. So let him in your boat this morning. He got in the boat, and he said, put it out in the deep. Launch out in the deep, whatever version you have. Put it in the deep water and let down your net. And aren't you with Simon right now? He looks at him and says, Master, at least he called him Master. We've worked hard all night, and we've caught nothing. But I'll do as you say and let down the net. It's almost like he's saying, okay, I've got that net in my hand. It's going down in the water. you know, like you're feeding your kid green beans in the high chair when they don't want to eat them. You know, hey, I'm gonna put it down here. And Jesus is like, let's go. If you do what I tell you to do, good things will happen. That sounds like Christianity 101, but it really is. That's where the good things reside. Amen. Master, we've worked all night. Hard. Not just work. We've been in this water. We're freezing cold. We're wet. We're tired. And you want us to, he said, all I need you to do is just change perspective a little bit. Go deeper. Just push the boat out a little bit more. And then let down your nets and let's see what happens. Anybody on board with what's about to happen here? When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Are we having a good time now or what? But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet and he said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man and I'm in his shoes because I doubted you, the King of Kings, the Almighty. You said, hey, push out and let's. And I'm like, have you not watched? Nothing's happened. He's like, yes, I'm about to fix that if you'll let me. Can I pull to the side of the road and tell you this morning, there might be somebody sitting here going, I have been doing the same thing every day. I get up. I'm faithful to my family. I pay my tithe. I pay my taxes. I go to work. I don't do anybody wrong, the best I can tell. And I still watch the scoundrels get blessed over there, and I'm still sitting here barely getting by. God sees that. God sees that. And I don't want you to quit because of that. What we have to do, as hard as this may sound, you may be in the right boat. You might be in the right body of water. He might be asking you just to go out a little bit deeper. What does that look like? Maybe there's something you're going to trust him with just a little bit more. Maybe there's a situation in your life that needs to get a little bit more firmed up, just a little bit more, whatever it might be. You don't have any idea. You and God know that. I sit in your shoes more than I stand here. And I know when the Lord begins to stir in my heart and tell me things, nobody has to give me a big, long description. All he has to do is just point to it and go, right here, Brian. Right here it is. This area in your life, that's going to push you in the deep if you'll let me. But you're not going alone. Who was in the boat with him? The master of the wind. Jesus was with him. Simon looks at him as the boats are sinking and the nets are full. And he said, did I just really whine to Jesus and tell him that we've done all we can do? And look where all this was. I just had to push myself out just a few feet. We got more fish than we know what to do with. That's the first fish market probably in Gennesaret right there. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, don't fear, from now on you'll be catching men. What's he saying? The faith you've shown me now, we're going to have this same amount of faith and we're going to find people and we're going to lead them to me and then we're all going to get to spend eternity in heaven. That sounds like a deal, doesn't it? I just wanted to see how faithful you could be. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. What did they do? What were the two things that we learned in Ecclesiastes a few moments ago? What was the bottom line? Fear God and do what? What did these guys do? When they brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Amen? We got another bottom line. And I want to get to the point with it here this morning to tell you this. We don't get anywhere until, number one, we admit that we don't know anything. I don't know if you follow college football very much. Jalen Milroe went to the University of Alabama. He just came out in the draft a couple weeks ago. He was drafted by Seattle. And they say that when he was in his meetings with teams, that he was telling all the teams the same thing. He was asked, what could you do to get better at your craft, at being a quarterback in football? And he said, well, how much time do you have? You know, what do you want me to tell you I can get better at? And he proceeded to tell the team that he was talking to everything that he was working on at that moment, everything about his game. And they said, are you not concerned that pointing all this out to us is going to give us a lot to think about and think, maybe this kid's not ready? And he looked them in the eye and he said, you should be concerned with any kid that comes in here who's never played a down of pro football and act like he's got it all figured out and not tell his weaknesses. And besides that, then I'm insulting you, saying you haven't done your job to look at the film on me. That's why you went so high in the draft. You know why? We can never walk around like we've got it all figured out. I get a bottom line from God every day. You know why? Because it starts with these moments that we have with God. What did Solomon have? Solomon had his moment where he realized everything's vanity. If it's not plugged into God, it's a waste of my time. These guys, what happened? Well, they're still doing what God called them to do, still working at their craft, still doing their job. And yet he looked at them and said, I just need you to push out just a little bit farther, go a little bit deeper. Look what happened. They walked away. They left everything. Those nets that were so precious just a half an hour ago that they were cleaning to make sure they had, they left all that behind, and they got right behind Jesus and they followed him. Because, hey, Bible recap people, where's the joy? You didn't think I watched that, did you? Amen? He's where the joy is. Amen? And they didn't want to go anywhere that he wasn't. That's a fanatical follower of Christ. Well, if he could do, are you kidding me? You can have that boat? Man, we still got 11 payments on it. Go right ahead. I'm going right over here with Jesus. I don't really worry about it. When you talk like this to some folks at times, they think, oh, he's another nut job because he's to give the keys to your house. You got to go sell what you have. You got to go live in a tent. A lady told my uncle once when he was pastoring in Kentucky, she said, now look, Art, I do not want to live in a shack by the road. And she made the awfulest face when she told him that. And he said, I didn't tell you you had to live in a shack by the road. Just don't worship what you got. Amen? Worship who gives it to you. They left everything. Fear God, keep his commandments. Left everything, follow Jesus. My point to you this morning would be, if I looked you in the eye, and I got serious with you, and you and Jesus had a moment, and he's talking to you right now, and I would say, okay, what's he telling you at this very moment? Calm down and trust him. Amen? Okay, give of myself and put this out there and give it to him. What's that look like? My finances. Finances are always on our mind at some point in time, right? I'm 56, going on 57. And let me preface this, because every time I sound like that's old, I look at our pastor, who is not 56. But he looks 38, amen? I don't know how he does it. I really don't. I try to follow him around all day long. He drinks as much coffee as I do. He walks way more than me. He must not eat the 11 o'clock ice cream that I do. I don't know what the deal is. But I'm at my age now, and I tell God, God, whatever you want out of me right at this very moment. And you know, when I get serious with him like that, you got to be careful, because he'll tell you back, okay, here's what I need from you. You have that moment. At this very moment where you're at, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to look around, and I want you to thank God that you got to church today safe and sound, and you got to be with your church family. And I don't know what the rest of your day is going to look like, but I want you to not get in a hurry. See, the disciples were in a hurry. Solomon was in a hurry. Solomon, I got to go find out what life's about. I'm going to try everything I can try. We're going to see what this looks like. He said, whoa, it's what you were taught as a child. Fear God, keep his commandment. That still works today. What about the fishermen, the disciples? They're, oh, no, we didn't catch anything. Well, that's the end of that. We're going to have another terrible day tomorrow, and they're getting ready to quit. And then they let Jesus in just a little farther. I'm not telling you that you're horrible people. We're all trying to serve God the best we know how. He's in my heart. Yeah, but where? Is he running around trying to be in charge? Or have you opened up every door and said, here you go. I need you to sit on the throne of my heart. Amen? What does that look like? I don't know for you what it looks like, but I can tell you what it looks like for me. I was 21, I think. A long time ago, I was 21 years old. And it was a Wednesday night. God had already called me to preach. And I was in church, and it did not matter what was said. Fred, I didn't hear any of it whatsoever. They were speaking, they were singing, they were talking about the word, and I was sitting there, and I knew exactly where God wanted me to go, and I hadn't done it. I was kind of like Jonah, in a sense. And I had some sitting there, and I kept talking to him, and he kept talking to me, and I didn't like what he was saying because it scared me. And I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there for a longer time, Dave, and I'll never forget. I don't even remember standing up, but I got up. I walked all the way to the back of the church. I walked down the hallway, which that hallway is so small, but at that moment it looked like the Grand Canyon. I walked into a classroom, and I closed the door, and I laid down face first on the table. And I held on to the sides, and I looked down with my face pressed to that table, and I said, God, I know you don't have every inch of my heart. I need to hear from you right now, or I'm not going to make it. because I just felt like I was existing, like nothing I did had any power, like the words I said fell flat, like nothing that I was trying to do with my life was getting anywhere. And God spoke to me at that moment. He said, it's because you are still trying to take control. You got to give it to me. I laid there. I held on to it. I felt his presence. I don't have to tell you what that feels like because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't even know how long I was there. Church had ended apparently. And they're all looking going, where's he at? They didn't know where I went. And they started knocking on the door. And I'll never forget, one lady opened the door and she went, oh, and she closed it. She said, he's having time with God. We got to leave him alone. Thank God for people that get it. Amen. Is that you? Did you walk in today hanging onto the table saying, God, I need to hear from you. I don't even want to leave this place. I don't even want to go home. I sure don't want to get up in the morning and go to work unless you give me, is it time for me to leave it all and follow you? Am I not fearing you enough and keeping your commandments? Where are we at? Just break it down in that term for me at this moment so I know exactly where to go from here because I can't make it without you. Amen? With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed for just a moment. I'm just going to ask you this simple question. That doesn't mean I'm going to come back and embarrass anybody or do anything out of line. I just want to ask you this in your heart. If God stirred your heart this morning at all, and you just want to raise your hand and say, Brian, I want you to pray for me because I know he's speaking plain, but I need it to be as plain as day, just like the disciples and just like the writer of Ecclesiastes and just like anyone else. I just need him to tell me exactly what he needs from me in this moment so I can better serve him. Just raise your hand and put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest and vulnerable. It's not easy even to put your hand up sometimes. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? We love you, Jesus. We are thankful for your word, thankful for our church family, and these we get to walk through this life together with. We're thankful that you know us inside and out, and there is nothing that we're dealing with in life that you can't take care of. God, I pray right now for these that raise their hand, especially for those that might be at that moment like the disciples were thinking, if we don't have him come, we're not going to make it. And allowing you to get in their boat and take them someplace different than where they were, even just a few feet. So give us a new perspective. Freshen their walk with you. These that raise their hands, especially, God, speak to them just as plain as you did them. Okay, go deeper. Keep using the tools I've given you. Stay right within the place that I've planted you. But now I just need you to listen closer. And the instructions are coming. Wherever they're at with that, God, I pray you'd speak to them right now. And as they leave here, may they leave full. And for the rest of us, God, this morning, may we be people that help promote that in other people's lives so that we can all continually serve you better here in this earth. Go with us throughout this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.